But for now, we're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, get our weekly view from the middle. He's the columnist for USA Today. His vacation is over. Catch what he's up to on the red section of the paper, online, usatoday.com, on Twitter, at George Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So are you... have you escaped North Dallas? Are you back in your domain, or are you still out and about?
I made it home. I'm glad to be home for a couple of days, and then I'll go out to L.A. for the Pac-12 Media Days next week.
Awesome. You know, we were talking with Austin Meek about his new gig covering Michigan, and we were talking about, you know, where Harbaugh fits into the hierarchy, about with Saban, Dabo Sweeney, and you posted a great picture of Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy with that spectacular mullet. But you know, in the last couple of years with the retirement of Stoops and Urban Meyer, I mean, how high up there is Gundy as far as, you know, among the more recognizable college coaches now?
Well, Gundy's pretty recognizable just because of the hair, don't you think? I mean,
yeah.
The mullet and it was glorious again. It was curly and longer. You know, it kind of goes through different kind of permutations depending on when he's been to the barber. This looked like he'd let it go a while and then kind of gotten it styled some. And when you accent it with the, I don't know, 2 days worth of gray stubble on his face, it was really kind of an interesting look. So I think he's pretty recognizable. I also think this, I think kind of in response to what I think your question actually means, I think he's a pretty good coach and has recognized that as around college football. But he's so quirky that I think it probably limits where he could or would go. He's had some opportunities. He's talked with Tennessee a couple of different times. He talked with Baylor at one point. I think we might be seeing him settle in now. I mean, I think he's been there 15 years,
right,
as an Oklahoma State lifer. And that's, you know, he is an Oklahoma State guy, right? So,
yep.
I mean, it makes sense.
He was part of the Barry Sanders backfield.
Right.
At OSU. No, he entertains me to no end. I like that guy. So you wrote about the Big 12, and they had their media day at Jerry's World. And, you know, it was kind of a state of the conference. You know, up until recently, there was no conference championship game. And as you said, these kind of days, he preys on oneself. But, you know, back-to-back Heismans, Texas looks like they're on the rise, Oklahoma looks strong. So would you say that this is a conference that maybe dipped a little but looks like they're rising again?
Yeah, I think so. And listen, I think you got to be careful how you say this, because a couple things, or how you take these things, because there's a couple things going on. One, it's been one program to this point that has risen again, and that has been Oklahoma, and they've been good enough to go to the college football playoff. And, you know, a couple, not last season probably, but two seasons ago, this close to maybe being good enough to win it all. Had they won that Rose Bowl against Georgia, I think they probably would have. But that's one program. Even if people agree with me that that's the case with Oklahoma, and some people wouldn't. One program. 3 of the last 4 years that the league's been in the playoff, one program.
Right.
So you have to be a little bit cautious when you sort of listen to the confidence of everybody in the league. But here's what else is going on. Texas appears to be on its way back. The Longhorns were much better last year. Beat Oklahoma in October at the Cotton Bowl in their annual tilt there at the State Fair of Texas. Didn't win the rematch in Jerry World at the Big 12 championship game, but went to the Sugar Bowl and put it on a really good Georgia team. And bring back Sam Ehlinger, who's the preseason offensive player of the year at quarterback. Bring back some other really good offensive weapons. Got some questions on defense. But my point is, when you have one of your two powers clearly elite, and that would be Oklahoma, who would be in probably everybody's tier beneath the top two, Clemson and Alabama, Oklahoma's going to be in that next tier. And you have Texas appearing to be on a trajectory to get somewhere close to that, that's the two powers in your league, then I think everybody feels better about the whole thing. And so I think that's where the Big 12 is right now. At some point, they got to go out and win a playoff game.
Right.
It's weird because the Pac-12 hadn't been in the playoff in a couple of years, and the Big 10 hadn't been in the playoff in a couple of years, but the Big 12 is the only league that in 5 years of playoffs has not won a semifinal yet. So at some point they need to win one of those, and probably it'd be nice for them if they could win a title too. But that's where we are, and it's interesting in college football how these things, everything is tied to the playoff. But everybody feels better in the Big 12 because Texas is better and Oklahoma's really good. I do think they've got a bunch of pretty good teams this year, which could be problematic for their playoff hopes because it could pop Texas, could pop Oklahoma. Anyway, I don't know if I actually answered
your
question.
No, that's good. You actually covered more, so have a good one. We'll talk next week. No.
Okay, talk to you later.
Talking with George Schroeder. By the way, this anti-Texas kind of horns down gesture, I noticed that's been a point of discussion. I mean, it's not a middle finger. Is it now? So is it a penalty of some kind? How has the Big 12 decided to deal with something that, I don't know, I mean, I'm not a Longhorn fan, but it doesn't seem like it's that derogatory.
It's, well, I mean, it does if you're a Longhorn, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
If you're a Longhorn fan, you think it's really disrespectful to your proud tradition. If you're one of the other nine members of the Big 12, you think, oh, that's the coolest thing ever. If you're an Arkansas fan, I grew up an Arkansas fan in Little Rock, obviously, we used to do it all the time. The key, by the way, isn't whether or not the fans are doing it, and whatever anybody thinks about that, the key is whether or not the players are doing it, or I guess coaches or other sideline personnel, which I don't think that's usually an issue. And it stems from being called against West Virginia in their victory against Texas last year when I guess Will Grier, the former quarterback, flashed the horns up after he scored either on a touchdown or maybe it was the winning two-point conversion.
Yeah.
And it suddenly became a flashpoint, and then they said it was going to be a penalty. And then the next week, West Virginia's playing somebody else, and the best thing that ever happened in college football to me was West Virginia's offensive play calls for that week. At least one of their play calls involved the signal callers, you know, the backup quarterbacks or whoever, doing all the things you do and then dropping the horns down to indicate whatever the play was. Now, they weren't playing Texas that week, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant.
It's an interesting controversy that ought to be a non-troversy, quite frankly. But, hey, these are the kinds of things you get into in the summertime.
I am so writing down non-troversy, and I will give you credit like if I was putting together a bibliography.
I don't think I'm about 94% sure that I didn't bring that to life. That sounds like something I picked up somewhere.
Okay.
So don't give me credit for it. But,
all right. Well,
I mean, to me, the horns up, horns down thing is just comical on all sides. The funniest thing is, you know, turning the Longhorn logo upside down is a favorite thing for fans of the other schools
to
do. So if you're especially prevalent with Oklahoma fans and Texas A&M fans, and one of the things they do is they'll take the Longhorn logo that we actually see on the helmet, the familiar silhouette of the Longhorn, right?
Right.
You can buy that and put it on your SUV, right, just as a decal. Well, Oklahoma fans quite often buy it and turn it upside down and put it on their, you know, back of their car. Texas A&M fans do the same. To a lesser degree, other fans who consider Texas a huge rival do the same thing. What's always been funny about that is when you buy that decal, you are helping fuel the Texas Athletic Department. You're putting money into their coffers. It's always been funny to me because that's how that works. You know, it's a trademark logo, and if you buy it, they're going to get a cut of it.
It's like the people who take exception with a player or a manufacturer, and after they buy the gear, they burn it. It's like you realize they got your money already, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
By the way, speaking of Texas A&M, so the Longhorns and the Aggies played 118 times from 1894 till 2011, and you wrote about, and I've read about, Tom Herman, the Longhorn coach. So is he pushing for, is he receptive to reviving this this rivalry? Because I think it would just be great for the game.
Yeah, and listen, that was just a question somebody asked him. This is not the first time he said this, and in fact, anytime somebody goes through College Station and Austin, they ask that question. And I, in fact, did that in February when I did exactly that. And you get sort of one answer from the Aggies and another answer from the Horns. And the Aggies like to say, oh, we don't think we need them, basically, not in so many words. And I'm just going to tell you, I think they need them. And I think they both need them. And I think it would be good if they would do, if they would both let that happen. So, but by the way, you can look it up, USAtoday.com, from back in February, I guess it was. Both student bodies have done a survey. And in fact, Texas A&M student body did a survey where they basically asked everybody to vote, everybody in the student body to vote, and they got a large percentage of people to vote. Many thousands of students voted about whether they would like to see that rivalry renewed in football, and it was an overwhelming, it was like 85 or 87% wanted it to be renewed. And that's the students. So I have hope that it will at some point, and that the administrators from both schools will stop sort of hiding behind the, well, we're scheduled out until blah, blah, blah with our non-conference games. And that's all true. But if you want it to happen, it can happen. And I know it'll never be a Thanksgiving weekend thing anymore. It's just right. Not going to happen because of the – and that's sad, too, because, by the way, South Carolina and Clemson can do it. Florida and Florida State can do it. You guys could do it, too. But they're not going to do that. Let's make it a week two thing. Not week one. Let's make it week two. You can play a rum-dum team on week one and then play your rival on week two. And you will have the stage to yourselves in college football most years. I'm hopeful they'll get around to that at some point in the nearer future than we think they will. But what Tom Herman said was not really anything more than he has said to me and a bunch of other people over the last, you know, couple of years.
Well, I think it would be awesome. All right, one final thought. Kansas has a new coach, Les Miles. On our show this week, we talked about he defended the one-game suspension for running back Puka Williams. It wasn't his decision. That guy is going through, I think, diversion. I mean, he was charged with punching a woman in the stomach, grabbing her by the throat. I know the punishment wasn't his call. George, what did you make of kind of the explanation he offered up on the podium?
Oh, I thought it was kind of a tortured explanation, sort of hard to figure out. I mean, he was first of all, from the podium, he was reading a statement.
Right.
And I didn't think he read it all that well. But I think more to the point, there's not really a great way to explain that. There really isn't. I did think he made his point, which was, although I did not make this decision to let Puka Williams come back after a one-game suspension. And by the way, after he had not been on the team at all for 7 months until last week, right? So he's
right.
Back on the team now, but he's been away from all team activities for 7 months. And now he's back on the team, and he'll have to serve a one-game suspension. Although Miles says he didn't make that decision, and he actually says it was made outside the athletics department by the university, he says, I agreed with the decision. So I actually thought he sort of halfway owned the decision, which can make people happy or mad or whatever. I think that penalty seems light for
right.
the deal. Now, for what happened there, Puka Williams admitted, as part of getting into a diversion agreement with the county, he stipulated to basically what the young woman had alleged happened. I don't know what the right penalty is. One game seemed light. Les Miles is not the guy, apparently, we're led to believe, that made that decision. It was made at the university level after they went through a university process. That, to me, removes at least a little bit of the idea, not all of it, but a little bit of the idea that it's set up because he's a star running back and because the new head coach wants this, that, or the other. But look, that kind of skepticism is always going to be there, and I completely understand it. And I didn't think Les Miles, to get back to your original question, handled the whole thing all that well, either there from the podium, I didn't think he read it well or came across well, or then later when he was asked about it during the breakout sessions, I thought he really struggled to explain himself. I just didn't think it, not that there's an easy way to explain yourself. My
right.
guess is you and I would both struggle. But I didn't think he did a very good job of it.
No, I think you nailed it. The word tortured seems accurate. Folks, he is George Schroeder, USAtoday.com, on Twitter, the handle at George Schroeder. George, I look forward to chatting with you next week when you're on our coast, and we always appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks very much. Look forward to talking with you then, and I always look forward to seeing so many of my friends from Oregon when I get the opportunity to go out and see Pac-12 Media Day. So that'll be fun.
Should be. Have a good one, George. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you saw the way Miles gave the explanation, it was just like, oh, one tooth finally pulled, another. It's like, we understand you don't want to be dealing with this, but you took a head coaching job in a major conference, and you have to be dealing with this. Be better.